Romans 12, verse 1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Now, when you read the book of Romans and you read everything that it says about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the righteousness of God and all that Jesus did to make us right with God, it's kind of like he's summing it all up here, saying, well, therefore, brothers, after everything you've heard, by the mercies of God, here's what I want you to do. It's kind of like the only real legitimate response to what the Lord has done in our life. And it is this, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? I mean, is God wanting us to give up our life? Well, in a certain sense, yes, it's true. Jesus told us that he who will save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he's asking us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, to live wholeheartedly for the Lord. And he says further there, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You know, when they would bring sacrifices to the Lord back in the Old Testament, they had to be acceptable. They had to be a certain way, without flaw, for example, a perfect animal. And so he's saying, I want you to present your bodies to me in this similar way, holy and acceptable to God. And then he says, doing this is really what worship's all about. He said, this is your spiritual worship. You know, we can come and sing on Sunday morning, and that's an element of worship. That's an aspect of worship. And you can go in your prayer closet and sing to the Lord and worship that way. But what he says here is spiritual worship is presenting our bodies to the Lord, holy and acceptable. It's easy to come to a church and sing a song, but then leave the building and not be presented to the Lord completely. How many of you know what I mean? That our Christian faith is only exercised maybe on a Sunday morning in some activities we do in a church rather than my body wholly his, acceptable unto him, presenting my body to the Lord. And then he says this, do not be conformed to this world. Now, this word conformed is a word that's like a mold. Think of a mold. You've all probably seen molds where you have a form and you put sand or clay or cement in this mold. And then when you're done, what's produced is exactly like the mold. Looks just like the mold. And so that's the idea behind this word conformed. Don't be pressed into the mold of this world. Don't allow the world to determine what you look like or what you become or your destiny. Do not be conformed to the world. You know, there's a lot of pressure in the world today to be conformed to the world. There's pressure from Satan. There's pressure from our culture. There's political pressure. There's economic pressure. There's peer pressure. All these things are trying to force our lives into a certain mold, to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to be a certain way. And so the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. And I tell you, there's times where we as Christians can do really well at that. And we can reject the world and push the world away and say the world is evil, the world is this, or the world is that. And we can say, yes, I'm not being conformed to the world. But then the flip side of it is to be transformed. And that's what I want to talk to you today about being transformed. Not just being a nonconformist. That's easy to say no. But it's altogether something different to say, now, Lord, transform me. Change me. Rather than being conformed to the world, transform me into the person that you want me to be. And it only happens if I can present myself to the Lord. If I give myself completely to Him and say, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, I give myself to you. And then he tells us here that this transformation happens, at least to some degree, by the renewing of our mind. It's things that we take in, it's things that we believe, it's things that we absorb, it's things that we're taught, it's things that we hear. Our mind has a big part to play in what we conform our lives to. And so it begins here to say, Lord, transform me by renewing my mind. How does my mind get renewed? How do I get my mind renewed? All of us have a mind, and all of us have a mind that's been written upon. It's been written upon by our TVs. It's been written upon by the internet. It's been written upon by our friends. It's been written upon by Facebook. It's been written upon by TikTok. It's been written upon by who knows what. There's so many things that write into our minds and in a sense form us. They begin to form us and conform us to something. And so how do I get my mind renewed so that I'm being transformed? How do I get to that place where my mind is rejecting the thing of the world? I don't want to be conformed to the world, but I want to be transformed. I want to get my mind renewed. How does that actually happen? And I want to talk to you about it this morning a little bit. And then he says, you'll be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. See, what we're really after is to learn how to walk in the will of God. Rather than being conformed to the world and living according to the will of the world, I want to walk in the will of God. It happens by this mind renewal. So you will be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect. I love this scripture because when I read it, it includes my entire being. I see there my body is included. Present your body. I see that my spirit is included. When he says, well, I'm a living sacrifice, it is my spiritual worship. My spirit is somehow involved in this. And then my mind or my soul is also involved by the renewing of my mind. And all these things, I'm taking who I am as a person, body, soul, and spirit. I'm saying, Lord, I'm yours. Renew my mind so that I am not conformed to the world, but I'm being transformed. I'm understanding what is the will of God. So your Christian life actually has a destiny to it. God has a purpose for you. When you get saved, it's not just that you come to believe something differently or that you just start going to a church or just start reading the Bible. God has this thing called transformation involved in your life, changing you. When all of us were saved, you need to realize that you were conformed to the world to some degree. The day you were saved, now you have a choice to stay there and remain conformed to the world or to say, Jesus, transform me now. Change me. I think there's indictments against the church in these days where people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. How many have ever heard that before? Why is that? It's because sometimes we can come to Jesus, but we're never transformed. We never really present ourselves to Him and say, Lord, renew me, change me, renew my mind. I want to be transformed into what you want me to see, the will of God for my life. So let's look over at Romans chapter 8. It says here, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. How many ever quoted that scripture? And that's one of our famous scriptures. Everybody says this scripture. Well, why is that true? Well, you gotta take it in context with the rest of these scriptures here. Because that word for in the next sentence means it's for this reason. This is why everything works for good. This is why we can have hope for the future no matter what happens. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Now let me talk about those two words for a minute, because they're somewhat theological words and people sometimes misconstrue what they mean. So what does foreknow mean? It just simply means to know something before it happens. That's all it means. Foreknowledge of God means that God knows something's going to happen before it happens. How many of you think that's crazy to think about? It's not. It's God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. So God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And he knows what's going to happen a week from now or a year from now. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you know that tomorrow morning what's going to happen? Something's going to happen tomorrow morning. The sun's coming up. Tomorrow morning, the sun's coming up. That's foreknowledge. You know it. You know what's going to happen. But let me ask you a question. Does the fact that you know that make it happen? No, so foreknowledge is not really an idea that you're making something happen. It's just that you know that it will happen. Okay, so that's foreknowledge. So it says here, those whom he foreknew. What did God foreknow? He foreknew those who would respond to his call. So you go back to the verse right before that. All things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So there are people who are called and who respond. Many are called, few are chosen. How about you? Have you responded to the call of Jesus? Well, if you have, how many of you know that God knew beforehand that you would? It doesn't mean that he made it happen, but he knew it would happen. He knew that this person would respond when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, those he foreknew, he predestined. So, what does predestined mean? It means to determine something ahead of time, to predetermine something. So what did God predetermine? Did he predetermine who would be saved? No. He just knew who would be saved. He foreknew who would be saved. But what did he predetermine? Read it with me here. Who can see what the scripture says there? What did God actually predestine? Right. Not that we would be saved, but that when we are saved, there would be a destiny. That's what God predetermined. Those who would respond to the call of Jesus, he has a plan, a purpose, a destiny. And that is that you would be conformed to the image of his son. So we talked about two different conformings today. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. And here he's telling us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you who are Christians today feel that you have been conformed completely to the image of Jesus? Let me see your hands. I see that hand. No, I'm kidding. But how many of you have this in your heart as God's purpose for my life? I hope you do. And so if being conformed to the image of Jesus is God's purpose, his predestined plan for all of you who've been called, then it shows that we're on a journey. We're on a journey of what? Transformation. There's change going to take place. I'm going to be different a year from now or 2 years from now. God's going to be changing me. He's going to change my attitudes. He's going to change how I love people. He's going to change my ability to forgive. He's going to change my thinking on how I deal with my finances. He's going to change everything about my life, how I raise my children, things I believe. Why? Because what's happening is God is transforming me to be more like Jesus. Not to be God, but to be like him. Jesus became a man to show us what it looks like for a human being to live according to the will of his Father. Jesus always did the will of his Father. You can open up the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the life of Jesus, and you can see this is what it's like for a person to live in the will of God. And I want to be more like Jesus. You know, many of us have, I don't know what you want to call them, idiosyncrasies, you know, things about our life, personality. You know, maybe it's part of our heritage. I'm an angry Irish person, or whatever it might be, you know. We just have things that become part of us, but there's something greater than that. And oftentimes we kind of fall back to that as our default. Well, I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to be an angry person. I'm always going to be whatever it might be. You fill in the blank. Rather than saying, Lord, conform me to the image of Jesus. Don't let me rest here with these attitudes. Don't let me stay here with this mindset. Change me to be more like you. That is God's purpose for you. I know many, many of us are simply saying, Lord, what's your will for my life? And it may include many other things, but this I know for sure. The will of God for every one of you who are called and who have responded to the call of Jesus is that you will become like him. Don't be conformed to the world. Be conformed to the image of Jesus. Here's a couple other places in the Bible that talk about this. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. You know, it's good to have a person in your life that you can follow their example, and there's nothing wrong with that. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So be a good example and find good examples, but here he's saying, be an imitator of God. There's another place in Matthew 5 that says, be perfect as your Father which in heaven is perfect. You ever read that? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What is he doing in these scriptures? He's giving us a vision. He's opening up our hearts to say, look, this is what I have planned for you. This is my predestiny for your life, that you be conformed to the image of Jesus. So be imitators of God. How can you be an imitator of God? Well, read about him in the Bible. Read the scripture. See what he's like and say, Lord, let me be this way. When you read the stories of Jesus, say, Lord, let me be this way. Change me to be transformed to the image of Jesus. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And he says there, walk in love as Christ loved us. Again, he's using Jesus as the example. He tells us to love others the way Jesus did in this scripture. He gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Another good one, 1 John 2, verse 4. Whoever says, I know him. How many of you say, I know him? Well, here's what he says about that. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. See, that knowing Jesus causes some effect in my life. Knowing Jesus means that I'm beginning to align my life and my decisions and the direction of my life according to his word. It becomes like a guidepost for me. I'm letting the word of God direct me and be my decision maker and change my thinking and form my thoughts and giving me wisdom rather than the wisdom of the world. Rather than being conformed to that body of knowledge, I'm saying, Lord, you show me the way. You show me how to act. You show me how to speak. And so he says, if you say I know him, but don't keep his commandments, this person is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. This word perfected means brought to maturity. If you want to see the love of God perfected in your life, it comes by keeping his word. There's no shortcut. And the more that you will yield yourself, give your body to the Lord, and let the word of God become your source of truth and practice, the love of God becomes mature, perfected in your life. And it says here, by this we may know that we are in him. You ever had a question or a doubt, wondering, am I really a Christian? Did God really save me? Is all this true? Well, he says here, one of the ways we can have this assurance is by keeping his commandments and letting his love become perfected in us. He said, by this we may know that we are in him. And then look what it says in verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way in which he walked. So let me ask you a question here today. Is it possible for me or you to walk as Jesus walked? I know some of you are sitting there thinking, it seems impossible. But this is what he's predetermined, that those who respond to him would be conformed to his image, to walk as Jesus walked, to love as Jesus loved, to serve as Jesus served. In John 14, he said, I have left you an example that you should follow my steps in washing the feet of the brothers. I've given you an example. You should do as I have done. There's so many more places where, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. There's just so many places where Jesus is saying, listen, I am like the pattern. I'm the mold. Press your life into me. Become more like me rather than let the world press us into its mold. You really have two choices. All of us are being pressed into some mold somewhere. Nobody is outside of a mold. You just got to decide which one you're going to walk with. So whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way which he walked. So let me close with this last scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. It says, this is speaking about the Jewish people and how they had their hearts were hardened, and they could not really see Christ in the scripture. There's so much in here that reveals what God is like, and somehow their minds were blinded to it. And so let's read it with that understanding. He says, their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, so the Old Covenant is what you would call the Old Testament. And he says, to this day, when one of these people read this old covenant, the veil remains unlifted. In other words, there's a veil over their eyes. They can't see it. It's like they're blinded. There's so much that's rich in here about God, about Messiah, about Jesus, about God's plan of salvation. And yet when they read it, and they read it every day in the Sabbath, in the synagogue, they read it. And when they do, there's this veil that's here. And he describes it in as the time when Moses came off the mountain where they gave the Ten Commandments to him. Moses came down and he had this glory on his face. His face was shining and the people couldn't stand to look at him. He had to put a veil over it. In other words, they were veiled from seeing the glory. So when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away? What does that mean? It means when a person comes to Jesus, all of a sudden this veil that was there is removed. All of a sudden this truth in the Word of God comes to light. All of a sudden these things that were hidden from them begin to instruct them and show them the way. And so it says here, this is taken away through Christ. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, excuse me, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But then look what it says. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Isn't that awesome? I don't know about you, but I remember literally reading the Bible before I was a Christian that summer. And I felt like I was reading a phone book. Now, maybe I was reading the book of Numbers. I don't remember. I don't have any idea. But I kept thinking, it's like reading a phone book. And I thought, there's really nothing there for me. But I'm telling you, when I turned to the Lord and began to open the Word of God, there's life on every page. There's a veil that was taken away, and something began to speak to me. It was God's Word. It says, when one turns to the Lord, this veil is removed. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Now see, they didn't want to look at the glory of Moses. They put a veil up there. But he's saying, we now, because we turn to the Lord, we can look at him with an unveiled face. And we see the glory of the Lord. Where do we see it? Right here. This is where you see the glory of the Lord. They can't see it. There's a veil. But whenever you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed and we behold the glory of the Lord. And what does it say? With an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into that image. From one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So how is my life transformed? I'm telling you, we say it a lot around here, but you got to be in the Word of God. You got to open it. You got to look at it. And the glory of the Lord is revealed here. And when you read it, by His Spirit, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Somehow, through the Spirit of God, transformation begins to happen. It's almost imperceptible. You don't even recognize it. One day you wake up and you're different. And your friends start saying, hey, something's different about you. What is it? I'm being transformed to the image of Jesus. I'm looking more like Him all the time. And you know, you can be a Christian for 40 years or 50 or 60 and still change. Because I asked you earlier today, how many of you are conformed 100% to the image of Jesus? Nobody raised their hand. So we're all still on this journey. But I want you to know, you've been predestined for this. This is God's predetermined plan. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many. Now, I guess I have one more scripture. 1 John 3. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Look at that. We can be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. They were blinded, didn't see it. Beloved, we are God's children now. You know, when you turn to Jesus, You become a child of God. You're born again. Born not of the will of man, but born of the will of God. You become part of his family. It's something you are now. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. What we will be. What does that mean? It means we're on a journey to a transformed life. I am a child of God now, but it doesn't still yet appear what I will be. And how many of you wives are saying amen to that? I know my husband's a child of God, and I know it doesn't yet appear what he will be, but we know he's on this journey. He's on a journey. He's on a journey of transformation. Janet, have faith, have hope. We're all on a journey. We can have faith and hope and confidence in God's ability to change us. We are being changed by him to be conformed to the image of Jesus. If you don't like me now, hang around for a little while. Because if you love Jesus, you love his people, because they're being like him. They're becoming more like him. It says, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Sometimes when you read this, you might think about when he appears, we're going to be instantaneously changed. And that's not what it says here. We will be instantaneously changed in the sense that our bodies, which are mortal, will take on immortality. But becoming like Jesus has happened. When he appears, we shall be like him. Because we will see him as he is. How do we know that? Well, we see him as he is right here. God's saying with his word, I want to show you what I'm like. Here it is. And as we read it, we see the glory and we're being transformed by the Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 3, everyone who thus hopes purifies himself as he is pure. What is that saying there? That's saying that if you have the hope, the expectation, a vision, so to speak, if you have this understanding that God has a plan, it's out there. I'm a child of God now. It doesn't yet appear what I will be, but I know that when he appears, I'll be like him. If you have that hope, it causes us to do something. He says, we purify ourselves, even as he is pure. So I want to stop lying. I want to stop being the angry Italian or the angry Irishman or the whatever it might be. You know, I'm not picking on anybody in particular here. Angry bald-headed guys. How's that? But listen, if you have that hope, it's going to cause you to apply yourself. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be transformed. And so, Lord, I do have a bad attitude. Will you change me? Lord, I do have a short temper. Change me because I want to be like you. I want to be like you. This is my hope, that when you appear, I'll be like you. He who has this hope will purify himself. So let's all stand together. And I just summarize here that all of us are going to be conformed to something. All of us are conformed to something right now. But what do you want to continue in? Do you want to continue in the way of the world, or do you want to continue to be conformed to Christ? I hope you will choose Christ. Here's a question. Will you accept that God's predestined plan for you is to be conformed to the image of his Son? It's a biblical truth. God wants you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Do you accept that for this to happen, you have to present your body and be renewed in your mind? In other words, you're presenting yourself completely to the Lord for this transformation to happen. The third thing I am asking is, are you willing to spend time in His Word to see Him, to see the glory, to discern His will? And then finally, are you willing to let the Word of God become your guide for life? Let it become your source of truth. Let it become the thing that informs you about everything in life. And when you do, the transformation will happen. It will happen by the Spirit of God. So, Father, I pray for all of us here today. We do feel the pressure to be conformed in our day. And we don't want to just be nonconformists. We don't want to just stand up and rail against the pressure of this world. We want to see the other side of that, which is to be transformed and conformed to the image of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would inspire each one of us today to renew our devotion to your word, to open it again with fresh eyes, to behold the glory of the Lord. I pray that you would give each one of us a hope for that future, for that predestined plan that you have for us, Lord. And it would motivate us to deal with the areas of our life that are not conformed to your will. Change us by your Holy Spirit, Father. We ask you for these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.